The Old Testament reading for the fifth midweek Lenten Vespers is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls, and with the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, how much more will it purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews then answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews then said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, John 8, 42 to 59. The sermon title is Hearing God's Words. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how good are you at listening? Have you ever sat out on your back porch or in your backyard and listened to the sounds around you? This time of year, you might hear birds singing around your neighborhood. There might be a dog barking in the distance. You might hear the dull roar of traffic on the local main road. Listen closer, you might make out the occasional truck or motorcycle on that road. On occasion, from here anyway, you might hear the Caltrain, locomotives whistling, ringing their bells and rumbling as they head through town. You might hear the airplanes as they fly in and out of San Francisco International Airport and San Carlos Airport. Now, all those sounds and more are there all the time. But you won't notice them unless you stop whatever you are doing, you pay attention, and you listen. How good are you at listening to God? Are you in the practice or take the time out to hear God's words? And that's the question that is raised by Jesus in our gospel this evening. John 8, 47, he says, he who is of God hears God's words. Now, when Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's words, he was not complimenting the people around him. He was in the middle of an argument with the Jewish religious leaders. The preceding verses in John 8, 3 indicate these leaders were primarily the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the religious scholars of the day. Their claim to fame was their supposed expertise in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, their what we call the Old Testament. The Pharisees were the leading political party within the Jewish church. We would call it a church. They call it the synagogues. It was their temple and all that was involved. They were the main power people. Their claim to fame was their real social and political power. And Jesus was a challenge to their power and influence and that is why they sought to put him to death. Our gospel lesson this evening is part of a longer discourse that starts at John 8, verse 2, finishes with 8:59. And as you heard in the last verse, the scribes and Pharisees stoop down and pick up stones to put Jesus to death. The setting was the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, the largest public area in the city. In John 8, 2, the situation started with Jesus arriving in the temple courtyard in the early morning, sitting down, and all the people coming over to listen to his teaching. So that's the background. And then there's another incident that's a background to the text. In that morning, as Jesus was teaching, some of the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in the act of adultery. According to the law of Moses, adulterers were to be stoned to death. They asked Jesus what he taught about the punishment for adulterers. Jesus did not reply immediately. And then finally he said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." One by one, the accusers who had brought the woman left in embarrassment. Why did they not take up stones? Because each one of her accusers was guilty of the same thing that they accused her of. And when all the accusers were gone, Jesus told the woman, "I do not condemn you. Go now and sin no more." What did Jesus teach about adultery? He did teach that it was a serious sin, but he did not teach that adultery was a crime worthy of death. And he did not teach that any sexual sin is a crime worthy of death. And in Jesus' religion, these are offenses to be legislated and tried by the state, not by the church. He said, "My kingdom's not of this world." This is why in Lutheran theology, marriage is to be regulated by the laws of the state and not by the laws of the church. At the same time, the Bible clearly teaches, including in the New Testament, that those people who persist in the sexual sins of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words." In John 8:31-32, again preceding our text, Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And here Jesus wants you to more than just listen. He wants you to always listen and always try to act accordingly. Well, then that brings up the question, are you the type of Christian who just goes through the motions? You went through the motions to get baptized, which was good. You went to Sunday school, which was good. Maybe you went to Christian day school, as I did, which was good. You went to catechism class, which was good. You were confirmed, which was good. Maybe you brought your children to the baptismal font, which was good. And everybody here goes to church and communion regularly, which is good. All these things are good, and they're necessary, and they're good for you. But if you just go through the motions of going and doing these things without listening and abiding in God's word, these good things won't do you any good. The sounds of the church and the sounds of God's word are all around you when you are regular at church. Just like the sounds of the city are all around you here in San Mateo and surrounding towns. But you won't hear the words unless you stop whatever you're doing, pay attention, and listen. Listen to those words, and then keep on listening to the words of Scripture. God's word in the Bible is not like any other book you might read just once and then put on the shelf for the rest of your life. It is an exceedingly complex book filled with different types of literature, poetry, fables, wise sayings, proverbs, prophecies, a lot of history, teachings, and epics. I have found in my own devotional life that life experiences bring new insight in the Bible. It becomes a different book as you age. I understand many things now in my later 60s that I would have never understood in my 30s. And that's not because I'm a minister. It's because life throws different challenges and temptations at you at different times or phases of life. Now, I challenge you, each one of you, and I think you're all confirmed here, so I'm not giving you an assignment on top of your catechism class, to set aside some time each week, or each day if possible, read through the entire Bible from cover to cover, not in one day, maybe in a year. You should have enough knowledge from your catechism class to do this on your own. Now, a good study Bible like the CPH Lutheran Study Bible can help you understand more of the Bible when you read it, when you use the notes and the footnotes. But any good English translation will do. And if you have problems reading, we'll get a large print version. I found that it is easier to listen to God's word when I'm reading to myself, because I can read it at my own pace and not have to follow what the preacher is, where he's going with it. I don't have to follow the preacher's train of thought or the discussion of the group Bible class. And I see something, I can stop there and pay attention and then listen to what God is saying and ask, well, what does this mean for me? Now, why should you do this? It's not because God threatens you, but because sin, death, and Satan threaten you. Listen to these words in verse 51. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, Jesus didn't say that those who keep his word won't die. He said that they won't ever see death. See it. So, what does he mean there? He means that when you see something, its qualities enter your brain and mind, and it affects then your emotions, your will, and your heart. So there's some things you don't want to see because you don't want that to influence you. But death is something you really don't want to see, right? So Jesus says, if you keep his word, death won't affect you in that way. Those people who do see death, I'm putting that in quotes, experience full force so that its qualities affect their mind, emotions, will, and heart, and it doesn't leave them. And their soul dies with their bodies. Those people who listen to God's word and who abide in it will not see death. What does that mean? Their bodies will die, of course, but their souls cannot be harmed by the experience of death because they see it differently. They see it as the portal to heaven. Jesus talked about the soul of Lazarus in heaven with Abraham. The book of Revelation talks about the souls of believers in God's temple prior to the last judgment. If you believe in the words of Jesus and abide in those words, death cannot harm the soul that is your inner person, mind, heart, emotions, will, and memory. And on the day when your body ceases its life, your soul will arise to heaven, just as Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. What does he say? Verse 51. Hold on to this passage. He said, "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Blessed are those who hear the words of God and keep them." In our Savior's name, amen.